Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Today, we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one. No, we don't. We have four rounds in the magazine, as you were. Round number one. Time to update the safety brief. Do not eat raw, rotten meat so that you can get high by eating raw, rotten meat. People are doing that. These pictures, Cons, I just sent you like the Google document. Mm. They are legitimately disgusting.
I'm scrolling right now.
It looks like brains.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
It looks like brains. No. And I'm fine with eating brains. Like, I've had brains before. I'm not eating that kind of brains. If I'm eating something that looks like brains, it better be fucking brains.
Yeah, I feel like that's a delicacy in some places when prepared properly. This is just disgusting what we're looking at here, though.
Oh, speaking of that, did you used to watch Phases of Death? Have you ever watched that? Have you ever heard of it?
No, I have no idea what that even is.
So Phases of Death, or Faces of Death, it's one of those two. They used to have it in like the back rooms of Blockbuster or Movie Gallery. It was essentially Rotten.com before Rotten.com was a thing. Mm-hmm. It was only on like VHS, and it would show legitimate people dying. And I was introduced to it when I was like 12 or 13, but they would also do a whole bunch of fucked up shit. One of the things, I believe it was in like India or maybe it was Singapore. They show this monkey, they kill this monkey, crack its skull open at the restaurant, drain the blood on the side, and then cook the monkey brains right there. And you watch it the entire time. That's probably why I'm fucked up, honestly.
I mean,
I should not have watched.
There's that. A multitude of reasons why we might say that you're a little messed up, but we could probably add that to the list.
That's true. Round number two, a persnickety bride left her would-be husband at the altar for reasons all soldiers would find very unfair. Round number three, an armed recruit is in hot water and in the brig after a Grand Theft Auto-inspired morning where he hijacked a bus filled with children while armed. Not a great thing there. And finally, round number four, between Jeopardy this week and talking to Sebastian Unger, who's an interview that you're going to hear pretty soon, I've been thinking a lot about living in a movie. Which movie? Well, you're going to have to wait for round number four to figure that one out. And Sebastian Unger, by the way, that dude's fucking fascinating.
Oh, fascinating. Absolutely. Stuff. Yes, absolutely. We appreciate Sebastian being so agile with the interview times because we've had to switch it up with him a few times. And at one point I was going to interview him and I was excited because I've read his books and he's an interesting fella, seen a lot of stuff, been a lot of places. So you're all in for a treat to hear that chat.
Yeah,
with
Chaps. When I really get into a book,
yeah,
I'll tell you, this is my book scale. I used to have the fancy boy scale for like liquor and shit. My book scale, if I leave my phone in like the main part of my master bedroom and then I go into the bathtub and I draw a nice hot bath, my wife knows I'm going to be in there for a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good book. Yeah. If I'm like, well, putting the phone down, heading to the
right. I'm the same way. If I carve out time specifically to read, as opposed to, oh, I need a few minutes to kill, let me just pick up the book, or I'm using the restroom, let me pick up the book, that's when you know it's a good book. So I'm with that. Oh,
you're still a book pooper.
Oh yeah, that's a great place to read.
Oh, I disagree. I only like to thumb through stuff because if I get caught in there, I already get in trouble for how long I spend same. In there. TikTok is ruining that, by the way. Like, all these people talking about, oh, my husband, my boyfriend, my fiance spend so much time in the bathroom. Let us have one place of peace. I don't come and fuck with you when you're putting on your makeup and you're shaving your pussy and your legs. I don't do that.
Yeah, I got a shot clock on enough places in my life. Let me have the right. Bathroom.
Why aren't men allowed just to have, that's like our spot. Mm-hmm. Like, just hang out. Let me be in there. It's almost like a noise machine when you have the fan going on. You have complete privacy. You're allowed to do whatever you want in there. Leave me alone about taking a 30-minute dumper. That's all. That's fair. I feel like that's fair.
That is fair. However, I feel like you get into into the territory where it starts to get detrimental to your health, I think, if you sit that long with your bottom side open.
Yeah, there's been many a times I've walked away. That's why I don't like these high pedestal toilets that they're rolling out now, because the way that you sit, it cuts off the circulation to your legs, and then you come out there limping. You look like a not great.
Can't have it.
No, you can't have that. But that's I have a new thing that I can do, because let's be honest, fellas, if you're listening, you're a dude. Or ladies. I don't actually, is pre-nut a thing for ladies?
I actually don't know. I don't know if they covered that in health class in high school.
Can a woman come too soon? That's not fair. Right?
I don't think that they
there's face nothing that happens
the same challenges as us.
There's no
consequences. There's none. No consequences either. Yeah.
If you're a lady and, like, let's say you're with, I wonder if this happens. Seriously, I need to know. Ladies that listen to the show, I need to know. If, let's say Brad Pitt, let's say you've had like a couple of glasses of Chardonnay, you put your pocketbooks down and you're just dancing with the ladies. All of a sudden, somebody looks like Brad Pitt or just somebody super like a Zac Efron walks in and he's like, you, I gotta have you. And you've been wanting to fuck Zac Efron for your entire life. You're a huge Greatest Showman fan. He comes out there. He looks dashing, slips it in. Boom. You come right away. You're not getting judged for that. If something like that happened with me, and for some reason I get the chance to go with like Jessica Biel or something like that, and I accidentally come too fast, I'm going to get shamed for it.
Yeah. You're going to hear about that one from the fellows in the locker room.
Oh yeah, big time. But not if I have Roman swipes. If I have Roman swipes, it'll help me last longer in bed. They are clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting. They don't require a prescription. Roman can send you swipes in a discreet, unmarked package, and each swipe packet is small enough to hide in your wallet or wherever you need it. They're super easy to use. Just take them things out, swipe that on that big, beautiful cock ears, and let it dry, and you're good to go. Go to GetRoman.com/zero. Every time I say that big, beautiful cock, you laugh. Big, beautiful cock ears. Go to GetRoman.com/zero. You're going to get your first month of swipes for free. Nope, not free. $5. Yep. Almost free when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/zero.
You know what it is? It always brings me back to Adam Sandler's album, What the Hell Happened to Me, when you say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the
the cantaloupes.
You've got a big one. You know that. Lunchtime, kids. I made some jelly sandwiches for you and sliced up some cantaloupe.
Hey, what's for this jackknife?
Jackknife. By the way, one thing that I always hated when I was growing up, when I would go to a friend's house that had a pool, I was always a skinny little bitch, like tiny, really thin, always.
Yeah.
Now that I'm 200 pounds, my jackknife skills, top notch. Oh. I'm so much better at cannonballs and jackknives than I was as a kid. And my family lost their shit the other day. We were barbecuing or doing a little grilling before dinner. We were eating down by the pool. I pulled off my first front flip that my family has ever seen me do, because we hadn't had access to a diving board. Mm. My kids were like, holy shit. Dad, nailed it.
Our dad's the coolest. Isn't it great? I mean,
like, I am legitimately shocked you didn't break your neck.
Isn't it great that the bar is so low for impressing your children?
So low. We've been doing that. And I was texting you guys earlier that we've also been playing football in the pool, where I'll sit on the side and throw it to McCartney, and McCartney will jump off the diving board and catch it. Our current record for consecutive catches into the pool is 8.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. I know.
For an 8-year-old?
Yes. That's a Hall of Fame pool game. The dive off the diving board, catch the football or any sort of ball. That's Hall of Fame. Marco Polo's a Hall of Fame game. Fish out of water. That's a good one.
I hate
one.
Fish out of water, because people always cheat. That's a cheater's game. But you'd be so proud of McCartney cons. McCartney is getting so much better at swimming, no longer needs the life jacket, no longer leave any floaties in the deep end. Was getting the football from the deep end halfway back to the shallow end, we also have a little basketball hoop in there that we've been playing like horse and stuff in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Was treading water, comes up out of the water with the football, throws it across the pool. It goes into the basket.
Wow.
I was like, whoa.
Did they celebrate like it was the greatest thing ever?
Yes, man. It was like everyone did. Everybody was like, oh, because it was on purpose. I mean, throwing a football, even like when you don't have your feet under you and you're just treading water, it's difficult to be accurate, especially when you're fucking eight and your hands are tight.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, it was like nothing but net straight through, like Steph Curry did it. It was incredible.
Speaking of pools, I do believe there is something in the mail for you and for me that we are going to be very excited about.
I honest to God think that you should put it in a suitcase. We can't talk about it because no free ads, but take it, get it in a suitcase, come down here to Texas and we'll have a battle.
All right. That would actually
tank floats, by the way.
That actually have a working water gun. Very excited about that.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. I'm trying to talk them into doing some actual ads so we can actually put it out because
that would be
a big violation of no free ads movement for sure. Let's get going with round number one. Round number one, this one, you know, I could honest to God see this catching on in the barracks or amongst junior troops so easy. And this is the reason why I truly believe that things like 3-Chi marijuana, whenever it becomes federally legal, which has to be right around the corner, whenever that happens, the military's got to open it up as well and say, look, we're going to do the same exact rules we would do with boozing. Absolutely no smoking weed 8 to 10 hours before duty. If you come in and you're high, you're going to get fucking NJP. You're going to get in trouble for it, and you're probably going to get kicked out. Put the same exact rules that you have on drinking on weed, and you will have so many less issues with things like this. Because when spice first came out, when synthetic marijuana, which is not testable, came out, there was constant stories in like the Marine Times, the Army Times, the Air Force Times, Navy Times, where people were jumping out of windows and shit because they were on spice. You remember that phase?
Oh, yes.
Military culture.
Yes. It was really, really bad. And the other thing, it was so readily available, like even more so than regular marijuana. I feel like you could,
you can go to Lowe's and buy it.
Like I was just going to say
that you get it from.
I feel like you guys were getting it at the gas station, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it was ridiculous. You could
get it anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was fucking people. That was the same time Crocodilia came to Florida, which.
What's that?
Crocodilia was that. It's that almost like a meth hybrid that came over from Russia. And it was, that was the one that people were taking it and they would legitimately like eat people's faces.
Oh,
like,
I thought that was bath salts. No.
Well, it was bath salts, but more, it was more specifically Crocodilia. And Crocodilia also like ate through your skin and all kinds of stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, this new trend that's taken over TikTok, I don't know, taken over might be a little bit strong, but this article says of all the bizarre and dangerous trends to gain traction on social media, a practice known as high meat might be the all-time grossest and most nauseating. I agree with this. According to IFL Science, the appalling diet trend encourages people to let raw meat rot for several months or even a year before eating it. Once adequately rancid, the decomposed raw meat, aka high meat, is consumed, and supposedly its euphoric high feeling soon takes over a person that eats it. While some reportedly eat high meat for its alleged mind-altering effects, others actually say they prefer the taste of the rotten flesh. There's
no
way, dude. There's no way. And that's the reason why, if you truly are a person who desires and goes after blue cheese, it's the same thing.
Yeah, well,
I hate blue cheese.
I really thoroughly enjoy blue cheese, so I get the comparison there. But I think,
but when you think about what blue cheese is, it's disgusting.
Yes, but that's why I don't think about it. I just eat it and enjoy it. I don't think about what I'm eating.
I cannot get past it.
That's
rotten shit is just not something that I want to mess with at all. The pictures, we're going to put some of these up on like, so if you haven't watched it on YouTube, you need to check it out because you have to see, it legitimately looks like rotten brains. I don't know what part of meat this stuff is. A guy named Corner of Justice on Twitter said, went down a rabbit hole today of people who leave meat out and eat it raw. And honestly, the pictures just constantly have me on the verge of vomiting. Yes, it might be because the food photography is hard, but damn, I'm not converted to the high meat movement. It looks absolutely revolting, but I could see this. You have, it's probably that same young troop that carries around Stephen Hawking's book that's going to try this shit. Like, you're not going to pop on a piss test for high meat.
Mm-hmm. No, well, that, or it's the guy, I'm surprised that they haven't talked about any sort of nutritional benefits in terms of maybe your energy's higher or it's higher in protein somehow.
Something stupid.
Something stupid that, you know, the one dude who reads all the muscle and fitness magazines and drinks NO Explode all day, every day, is telling you all the health benefits and thinks he's, you know, a nutritionist because he reads all the muscle and fitness stuff and is smarter than everybody when it comes to working out. And I got to tell you, I was giving you a hard time when we were talking about the spaghetti. I will say, probably made even more so ingrained in me by the military, I can eat pretty much anything and keep it down. And I'm not really opposed to eating stuff that a lot of people would scoff at and think like, oh, that's disgusting. So I will eat your Newark Airport spaghetti that's an hour old and probably be fine with it. But this... yeah, I can't do this. This has no appeal to me whatsoever because I wouldn't be able to get past just the sole appearance of it.
And it's sad that articles like this have to have experts chime in. Mm-hmm. They said the experts note that they are resounding in their opposition to the trend, noting that eating rancid raw meat can, you're not going to believe this, it can actually cause severe illnesses.
No, get out of here. Really?
Yeah, they say that the bacteria present in rotten meat could be behind the reported higher hallucination of feeling of euphoria. But I mean, that kind of be could just be like pre-diarrhea setting in.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. That could actually just be your body rejecting this food and it telling you, hey, dummy, you shouldn't have eaten that because now we're getting sick. It's not euphoria. It's your need to go to the hospital because you're actually physically ill.
They had the health union in Singapore actually told Vice they wanted to note that the consumption of high meat has the potential to cause uncontrollable bowel movements, large intestinal damage, vomiting, dehydration, and botulism, which none of those sound enjoyable.
No, I don't even know what botulism is, but I don't want it. I don't want any part of
botulism.
I think babies
get botulism. Like botulism, I think, is just like you have a huge nutrient deficiency after like having diarrhea for a long time. I'm not sure either, but either way, I'm not going to figure it out because I'm not going to try high meat again. You guys got to see the picture.
Listen to this. Botulism, rare but serious illness caused by a toxin that attacks the body's nerves and causes difficulty breathing, muscle paralysis, and even death. So that euphoric feeling that you're feeling, well, that's just you're dying.
Yeah. I mean, that might make some people want to eat that to see what that's like. All right, let's move on to round number two. If you eat high meat to try to get high, automatic fire watch. You're going to be on fire watch for that one for sure. Round number two. This one is a little bit about some math for Marines. Did the Army, whenever you guys are just doing regular training or like you're doing leadership development, did you take regular subjects, or were your enlisted soldiers required to take like regular subjects to learn?
No, not that I'm aware of. No, I don't think anything like that.
We have spelling for Marines, we have math for Marines, we have grammar for Marines, like, and you have to take these. And so on these tests, they're called from the Marine Corps Institute, you get points towards your promotion if you take these. So you can max out at 100 points towards your promotion score if you take these and you pass the test. And it is, some of the math is like higher level than you would think for like
anything higher than what you would experience in high school?
It's been a long time for me. Yeah, dude. Cause I didn't go to high level math. I knew I wasn't ever gonna, I knew I wanted to be a preacher. There is no reason for me to take trigonometry. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't need to do that. Like it was like, I went to stats, and then I was like, I'm done with this. Like, there's no reason for me to go any higher. That's all I'm ever going to need. I'm not going to need no trig. I'm not going to need no calculus. After I got to that math, then I was like, I'm going to go back down and went to basic math for my senior year.
Yeah, I mean, all you really needed to be a preacher was, you know, what was it, 2,000 loaves of bread and 5,000 fish? Or was it the other way around?
Even then, I felt like the teacher and Willy Wonka were like, two? I can't do just two. That's how I felt there. Well, that's kind of what happened here in round number two. This one takes place in Jolly Old India, because very few people expect to take a math test on their wedding day. But at the request of a bride, taking a math test is exactly what the groom did upon arriving at his wedding ceremony. Unfortunately for him, the results ruined everything. One bride in India called off her wedding upon discovering that a groom could not recite the multiples of two, his two timetables, apparently.
What? Real quickly, real quickly.
Because at first, when I first saw the article, I was like, maybe she's asking him to do like multiple of like 17. Mm-hmm. Like, that's tough.
What like are the, what do you
times
think?
17 times 17.
Yeah. What do you think are the most difficult times tables for just the basic numbers?
Ooh, or like 1 through 10 or a little bit higher?
No, just 1 through 10.
7.
Yeah. 7 gets easier as you get older and you watch more football. But still, I do think I think it's 6 and 7. Those are the tough.
8's too. 8's are difficult.
Mm-hmm.
9's easy. I think 9 is the easiest one.
Yeah. Like you just go one less than whatever the 10 is. Very simple.
Yeah. Basic math and figuring out.
Now that wasn't right. What I just said, that wasn't right at all.
What'd you say?
I go, it's one less than the 10. And then I started doing the times tables in my head. And I'm like, nah, that doesn't check out.
Yeah, no, that doesn't check out at all. But I understand what you meant
there. Right, right, right.
I think 9 is the easiest one of like the higher numbers than 1 through 10. But anyway, so according to the outlet, the groom reached the wedding hall on Saturday evening. But the bride, who was suspicious of his educational qualification, asked him to recite the two times tables. The ceremony procession of the groom's side towards the wedding venue. The groom is seated on the decorated horse, and he leads the congregation of his friends and family, who are all dancing, singing, and celebration. So this is like a traditional Indian wedding, where they are having all kinds of, it's an arranged marriage, obviously. First, let me get your thoughts on arranged marriage. How do you feel about it?
I guess when you consider the trials and tribulations of dating and going through, because how often does somebody meet one person and then that's the person they end up with? I feel like that's very rare. That's single digit percentage. How many people marry the first person they meet? So you got to go through the process of dating, and that could be a pain in the butt. It can be expensive. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, I don't hate it. It's like, hey, taking out all the guesswork, and you're almost just put in a situation and say, hey, figure it out, make it work. But it could also be very miserable. But some people end up miserable in their marriage anyway.
I mean, more than half in America end up in divorce, and the rate's much lower in India. There's a Netflix show that's fantastic called Indian Matchmaker. And I had no idea how extensive the process was, because you just think like, oh, the husband, the groom and the bride, like their parents get together to decide it. They have like legit services that they go through. They'll ask the woman a bunch of questions. They'll ask the man a bunch of questions to see like how they have matching personalities and where they go. And it's almost like Tinder, but somebody is not, it's not like an algorithm. They're actually asking questions like about your background. What's important to you? What do you want from a spouse? What do you want from this and that? And then they have like these books and they're like, oh, well, I think this person. Then they'll go talk to the families and see like, is she telling the truth here? What is she actually like? What is she like in the day? What is he like during the day? What does he like to do at night? And that's how they end up doing a lot of the matching, through a service.
Yeah. So I'll say two things. Number one, that's a lot more extensive than I thought it would be, because I thought it was just, hey,
it's just like money thing, right?
Right.
Like you have a big dowry and that's it.
Yeah. Or you're our neighbor and you have a son of a similar age and or a daughter, and we're going to put them together. So that's interesting. But number two, how often do couples look perfect on paper, but then you actually put them together and it doesn't work? So I applaud.
Like A-Rod and J-Lo.
True. True. Mm. Too bad. Too bad. So I applaud the efforts here.
Princess Diana and Charles.
who else is a really bad breakup?
Oh, there's been lots of them. Lyle Lovett and
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts,
that's true. Wait, Bruce Willis and Demi Moore.
Oh yeah, they should have been fucking Brad and
Brad and Jennifer. Yeah,
but not Brad and Angelina Jolie.
No,
they were
not.
Never gonna work.
They were all about the lust, not the love.
Yeah, they just wanted to fuck. They probably use Roman all the time with the promo code ZBT for $5 off.
Probably.
But so I also love the fact that this is a super fancy wedding.
I like that. Yeah.
We have to have more weddings where people show up on horseback. You should do that.
I think that is an awesome way to arrive to your nuptials.
Would you be upset if I showed up to your wedding on a horse?
No, because you know what? That'd be a story to tell for years to come. Remember that dude Chaps who showed up to your wedding on a horse? I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
I might have to do it.
Listen, if
well,
you,
if I'm invited, yeah. Am I invited to your wedding?
I'd imagine you would be, yeah.
Okay, cool. But so everybody arrives. They're giving out all the different things. Everybody's dancing. But before the bride could begin her nuptials, she needed to know one thing. Was her groom telling the truth about his education? So on the altar, like this is right when they're about to get married. She is on the altar with this dude. And she says, do your two times tables.
What a ridiculous time to do that.
If I'm him and I know I don't know my two times tables, I refuse.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not going to subject myself to this type of tomfoolery. Yeah,
excuse
me. I'm not going to be embarrassed. And almost like the third grade logic of, do you know this? Yeah, well, I'm not telling you.
Because then you'll know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
if you know, why don't you tell me?
How dare you embarrass me on my wedding day and try to make me look stupid? Who are you to think I don't know my two times table? Gosh, I would never marry a woman who had thought so lowly of me. This wedding's off. And then he storms off. And then he wins
the
day.
Yeah, then he looks better. And then they're like, damn, he probably does know his two times.
Yeah, but instead he's like, 2, 7, 12. Nope. Sorry.
I mean, the groom's failure made it clear to the bride that the groom and his family had lied about his education. Disappointed, she walked off the altar and called off the wedding. The guests were shocked. I imagine she's like that one dude on TikTok and Instagram that's always like, psh, psh. You know, the dude that wears that sweater.
Mm-hmm.
He's psh, like, whatever she goes, you don't know your two times table.
But I mean, what did they have to say to lie about his education that she just tested him on something so basic as your two times tables and he couldn't nail that?
Well, the article goes into it. It says the groom's family had kept us in the dark about his education. He might not even gone to school because of a bride told the Tribune in India. The groom's family had cheated us, but my brave sister walked out without fearing the social taboo. The marriage was arranged, but the Tribune in India reports that the two families reached a compromise and agreed to turn the wedding gifts.
That's nice of them.
That's the only thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, because I think any other thing, like if you call off the wedding last minute because of like you found out that somebody cheated while they are technically engaged, like you're going through all that, you keep everything, I think. Mm. Whoever was the cheater, you give up everything to the other side and you just walk away with a bunch of shit because of the social embarrassment you caused. Mm. But if it's because the groom is actually dumb and doesn't know his two times table, I think you got to give him back the toaster.
Like, yes.
You just do.
You don't warrant, you don't rate a toaster at that point. You have to.
At all.
This is absurd.
Let's move on to round number three. This is actually.
Wait. Time out. All right. Let's flashback to you and Annalise standing up on the altar. Okay. Mm-hmm. If she had said to you, Matthew, before I can do this, I need you to tell me X, Y, Z. What is something that if she had asked you, you would have been screwed?
Shapes, probably. I'm not
like, gonna- I don't know. It's been a long time since kindergarten. What do you want from me?
I mean, anything over five sides, it's a crapshoot. I know octagon simply because of the UFC, but right. Other than that, you start talking about hexagons and all that. I have no idea how many sides there are. And if you want me to calculate the circumference, good luck.
Yeah, but you know what? You really came around. I bet your math has since improved since you got into all the tool work and the building and such and measuring and whatnot, right?
Well, that really fucks you up because you would think a 2x4 is actually 2 inches by 4 inches. It's not.
It's what?
1.5 inches by 3.5 inches.
Why call it a 2x4?
And I didn't know that for the longest of time. I was just buying wood and being like, why am I always short? Like,
wait, that's a timeout. That is a fallacy that has been purported across this country since the beginning of time.
The only thing that is actually accurate is length. So if you have a 2x4 will come in like 2x4x96 or 2x4x120, depending on how long it is. The length is accurate. The width is never accurate.
That's malarkey. Listen, I get that.
And people just accepted it.
Oh, okay. So it used to be. So then it just stuck around, and then they started getting cheap on the lumber and skimping on it.
Well, what they did was they said that the new process of how they like kiln dry and everything, the old 2x4s, it's still just as strong as the old 2x4s, even though it's a 1.5 by 3.5. So that's how they like rationalize it, and people just accepted it. Stupid.
Well, they should put a sign up or something, because
they
do.
They have it on there, so it'll say 2x4, and then on the actual like Home Depot or Lowe's, it'll say what it actually is.
Okay, that's
so
good.
Like on my privacy wall, for example, that I built, it was the 8-inch thick post, and I was like, well, 8 inches, I got to go up 8 feet. So I did the math. I came back, and that's when I figured it out. Like I was like, how am I like? I'm like 3 or 4 boards short. Like I know I didn't do the math that poorly. And then I figured it out. I asked Kyle, and he's like, oh, yeah, those dimensions are not accurate at all.
God, that's got to be such a shot to your pride when that I feel like that's like a basic thing that people who usually build things know, carpenters and what have you. So you, as a new guy to the game, having to learn that the hard way, that was probably like, ooh.
Chaps, well, once you don't know how to use a circular saw in two tool videos, you kind of get over your pride.
That's true.
That was a good start for me. And the fact that it took me like 4 hours legitimately to put in some mud flaps was pretty embarrassing too, but I got better. Yeah. All right, let's move on to round number 3. This one comes to us from Fort Jackson. And this story started really taking off this morning on Thursday. And we shared it back and forth in the group chat and kind of were like hesitant if we were going to include it in the show. We decided to just because at first it was reported that it was an armed robbery, an armed hijacking. The guy didn't have rounds. So
that's good.
I feel like that made it a little bit better for us to actually include in the show. Mm-hmm. And now some of the more details have come out. So what actually happened? A 23-year-old Army recruit from Fort Jackson, South Carolina, who shocked the local community Thursday by hijacking a school bus with 18 children on board, had no ammunition in his service rifle and was just trying to get back home, the training base commander said. In a news conference Thursday afternoon, Brigadier General Milford Beagle Jr. said the yet-to-be-named recruit could face military charges, including absence without leave, theft of government property, and so on. The sheriff's officials have said that he will be charged with multiple counts of kidnapping. Beagle said the recruit, who was wearing physical training gear, boarded the bus full of children and told the driver he didn't want to hurt anyone. He just wanted a ride to the next town. The recruit had only been in training for 3 weeks and hadn't even made it through enough training to be issued ammunition. He was very, very quiet young man, a very quiet individual, hailed from New Jersey, one relative that we know of said, and he was assessed that he was just trying to make it an attempt to go back home. The driver eventually pulled the bus over and got off with all the children all got off as well. Nobody was hurt. He was quickly arrested by police, and the whole episode lasted about an hour. The general went on to say, there is nothing that leads us to believe through his counseling or through anything in his screening records coming in that this had anything to do with harming others, harming himself, or anything that links to other types of nefarious activities. One thing that I will say about this, because he was in training, they scoured those screening things to see if there's any mental health issues, because if they were, whoo boy.
Yeah, like, that's bad news.
We've had that. I mean, that's what happened with Bo Bergdahl. Mm-hmm. Like Bo Bergdahl, after they went back and like, oh, this dude got kicked out of the fucking Coast Guard because he had mental health issues. The Army never looked into it. And next thing you know, he's walking off post in a prisoner of war for 7 years.
Right, because some recruiter was trying to hit his quota. So he said, the Coast Guard, maybe you'll do better in the Army and come on down.
And that was the only thing that gave me any type of sympathy to Bo Bergdahl. Like he shouldn't have been in the Army, period.
True. Yes. So we failed him in that regard, and that's about as far as I'll go in terms of having any sympathy.
We are not
for that
a dude. Bo Bergdahl sympathizing podcast slightest. I still hate that guy. I wonder what he's doing now.
You know what? Let's think about this for a second.
Probably not much.
No, there's a good chance
he did get a shit ton of back pay, though.
Yes. You know what he's doing?
Like over $1 million, I believe it was.
Wow. That's a significant amount of money that if you're smart with, you could definitely survive, especially depending on where you live. Wow.
Well, because he didn't end up getting, I don't think he ended up getting the type of discharge that would prevent him from getting VA care either.
Oh, wow. So he's kind of on easy street getting over like a fat cat. That's a little.
Yeah, but you spend a couple years living in a fucking dog cage at the hands of the Taliban.
Ugh. Yikes. But you know what I was going to say?
Yeah, I mean, not that he deserves that much money, but no. Like, that's a, it's not like he was staying at fucking Club Med. Like, mm-mm. That's a pretty tough
guy. That was a harrowing experience, to say the least.
So they, what ended up happening is the general actually went into saying that this happens a lot, where not a lot, but frequently enough, where people at boot camp try to escape. Like, it happened when I was in boot camp, not in my platoon or my company, but like in a sister company, they had a recruit that tried to leave. Well, that's what makes Paris Island so different. Like, at Pendleton, you try to leave, you hop a fence, you're at San Diego International Airport. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get away. Paris Island, South Carolina, not the case. It's surrounded by marshes that have have alligators and water moccasins and all kinds of shit. There was a recruit that got his leg bit by an alligator when he was trying to swim through the swamps. And they tell you that story whenever you go to boot camp. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you want to leave, don't. And I was thinking today, this is an all voluntary force. You can leave the National Guard at any time you want to. Like, you could just be like, I'm done being in the National Guard.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't sign a contract that says you have to stay for X amount of years or serve X amount of time?
From what I've read, I've never been in the National Guard, but from what I've read, like in a state National Guard, not necessarily the National Guard, like the Army Reserves, but in the National Guard, it's an all-volunteer force. You can leave at any time you want to. Like, you can deny going on orders. You can do all that stuff. It's curious to me, in a time where you're not drafted, that you can't just be like, fuck this, I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like any other job where it's a job, you know, you're employed at will. You could just walk out and say, you know what, I've had enough of this job.
But if they let you do that at boot camp.
Oh, that'd be happening too much. It'd be
like 50% of the people, right?
Easy. Because here's the thing. I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people join the military. I do think there's a fair amount of people that see the military portrayed in cinema, on television and movies, and they think, yo, that looks cool. But then you actually
even
get
if you
there,
have cool jobs,
yeah.
Like, if you're doing like helicopter stuff, like you're a crew chief, they don't tell you you're going to be cleaning for fucking 9 hours a day. Most
exactly.
Of the
time. And even before you get to do all that cool stuff, you got to suck it up and go through the proverbial swamp of the military and just
you're
get
19 years old and some 25-year-old's fucking yelling at you in your face, spitting on you and shit.
No, yeah, can't have it. No one tells you about that because the recruiter paints it like it's sunshine and rainbows, obviously. And then you get there and you're waking up earlier than you've ever woken up before. You're always tired throughout the day. You're always, some part of you is hurting. You're probably hungry. Run. They're making you run everywhere. Yeah. Three weeks in, I'm surprised this was 3 weeks in. This dude strikes me as a dude. This is probably a weekend. He's like, oh man, you know what? It probably was about a weekend that he realized he didn't want to be there. And it took him about 2 weeks to concoct a plan. And then he thought, you know, oh, bus full of children. That's a good idea.
I wonder what, I mean, that's obviously a crime of opportunity. He happens to see this bus that goes by.
Yeah.
18 counts of child kidnapping.
Not good. Not Ew. Great, Bob. No.
I mean, if I am that parent, like, because I look at it from like a rational perspective, this dude's obviously going through some mental health issues too. He's struggling. He's dealing with a lot of shit. But also, as a father and like a parent, if I came home and some armed dude, because these children don't know that there's no weapon. Like,
no,
they're not like, oh, yeah. There's not even a magazine. Let me check. Yeah. Let me check the chamber to see if right. there's a round in there. Like, they're not
chamber?
Doing
yeah.
that stuff.
No, not at all.
Imagine how terrified these children must be with somebody in an army uniform with a gun gets on and tells the bus driver where to go.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be terrified.
Absolutely. You have no idea. You don't realize this guy has no rank and that he's only been in for 3 weeks. You just see the camo and the big ass, because he's got a service rifle, so presumably it was an M4. That's a scary looking thing to see up close if you've never seen one as a child, if you're not around people who handle weapons. So I bet you these kids were extremely scared. You're gonna have to give, it doesn't say, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but it doesn't say how old they were. But not that that makes it any better or different, but I just think
they're elementary school kids from what I had seen earlier in the day. Super
that's,
young.
That's so tough.
I know, like, you have like a traditional kidnapping charge is going to like give you 10, 15 years in prison. I'm not sure if that's appropriate. I mean, because when you think about it, like we in America, we give people long prison sentences, like for weed and shit. When you think about how long 10 years is to spend in prison, 10 years in prison is legitimately forever. And you get out, you come out 10 years of prison, one, your life is essentially over unless you're like Wallow, like, and you're like the $1 million worth of game guys who have just done incredible things since they've gotten out and like really turned their lives around. Like if you are anybody else, for the most part, you get out 10 years, the things that you see in prison will fuck you up big time. I propose that because there's 18 of them, they let all the parents get together, figure out which one of the dads there is the biggest ass beater in the group, and be like, you have to do 5 minutes in a ring, no gloves on, hands behind your back with this guy, or you're going to jail for 10 years. You get the option.
Right. Because also, what are the chances this dude, I didn't see a picture of him, or maybe I just saw a headshot. He looks like a skinny dude who probably couldn't last 5 minutes with anybody with any sort of strength. So that would definitely be it. Or
you tie his hands behind his back and you let the children go after him.
This is like the age old question. Would you rather fight a horse sized duck or a bunch of duck sized horses?
Do you want to fight me or do you want to fight 18 McCartneys? It's me. You don't want 15 McCartney will stab you.
Yeah, she's definitely sneaking a weapon of some sort. She's gonna shank you when she gets in that ring with you.
Came from preschool with a fucking razor blade from mulch.
Right. Oh my gosh. Dude, when they did that story was unbelievable. That was early on in ZBT days. Like that, you know what that reminded me of the video of the kid. What is that? A knife.
That's essentially McCartney.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to round number four. Yeah. This one is brought to you by our good friends at Simply Safe. Let's bring in President FDR for that. Simply Safe is an award-winning home security. So you know it's engineered with the latest technology. You want to keep your family safe. But what really sets Simply Safe apart is its people. Highly trained security experts who are always there for you when you need them most. These are people who truly care about keeping you safe. When an alarm goes off, a person who cares is there for you with a phone call to make sure you're okay. When an emergency happens, a person who cares is there for you by getting fire and police responders to your front door right away. Even if you're just having a problem setting up your system, a person who cares for you is there with a friendly chat and a quick resolution. The bottom line is, when you need them most, Simply Safe is there. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, with people who care and experts trained to not only keep you safe, but to make you feel safe as well. It's one of the reasons why USA News recently called Simply Safe the best home security of 2021. To learn more about Simply Safe, how they can protect you and your family, simply visit simplysafe.com/ZBT to customize your system and get a free security camera. You also get 60 days of risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. That's simplysafe.com/ZBT. All right, so in round number four, first of all, Cons, are you a big Jeopardy guy?
Oh, every night I record it.
Okay, you do. All right, good. So I do as well. I record them all. Of all the guest hosts that have been since Alex Trebek died, who do you think has done the best so far?
The gentleman who's doing it right now, the newscaster, will give him to the end of the week. So far, so good with him. I think.
Are you talking to Anderson Cooper?
No. There's an African-American.
I'm behind because I moved, I'm a little bit behind.
Okay. This week currently, there's an African-American gentleman who I didn't recognize. Who has been doing pretty good. I would say it was the first two out the gate, Ken Jennings, and then the gentleman who has been the executive producer on the show for a long time. They were great.
I think the executive producer did the best so far.
Yeah.
Katie Couric was god awful.
She stunk. Dude, Katie Kirk was
horrible.
She was trying to make it about herself too much. Like, nobody cares, Katie Kirk.
No one cares, Katie. And read faster, for fuck's sake. Like, we're trying to get through the board. Like, every time she was on there, there'd be like five or six questions. I hate that. I don't care that fucking Rebecca went to Epcot and got some fucking Schoolhouse Bread from Elsa's house. Like, I don't care about that.
No,
don't
not
tell
at
me
all.
About that. Also, Aaron Rodgers did better than expected, but the bar was so low because he's a professional football player. Yeah, I think people were just surprised that he could read.
Enthusiasm and the energy just wasn't there from Rodgers. Like, he was okay, he was serviceable, but the energy wasn't there, in my opinion.
Anderson Cooper was so good at it that it almost felt bad. Right? Like, he, mm-hmm. because he is so naturally skilled at like going back and forth and like hosting panels and doing things like that. It was flawless from him for a majority of the time. I didn't like how he sounded legitimately disappointed when somebody got the answer wrong. Like, mm-hmm. oh no, that's actually an African swallow is what we're
yeah.
looking for there. Sorry about that. It's an African swallow.
I'm blanking on his name right now, but the dude we grew up watching on Reading Rainbow.
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton. Yeah. I'm excited
to
see
how he's going to crush it.
I think he's going to do great.
It's going to be LeVar Burton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, at first I thought it was going to be Ken Jennings. Bean Dad fucked him.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they host a podcast together.
Oh, right. Yeah. True.
Bean Dad's actually problematic, so that problematicness rubs off on Ken Jennings.
Yo, talking about Reading Rainbow, what a banger of a theme song that was. Take a look, it's in a book. A Reading Rainbow.
Well, Lee,
I think she's a great NCO. Yeah,
she said, and it was the only person I've ever seen admit this out loud, the same thing. I thought LeVar Burton's name was Reading Rainbow. I thought that's what his name was.
That is simply unbelievable that you thought that.
Well, I was so glad when she said it. I was like, all right. So in this, the reason why I'm talking about this is because in one of the episodes with Anderson Cooper, one of the guys was talking about on his little 50 second or whatever it is, tell me about yourself. He was talking about walking in between two active volcanoes when he went on a vacation once, and said that it was kind of like Mordor. And they were talking about that a little bit, about what it would actually be like to be in Lord of the Rings. And so then my mind started to wonder, like, what movie would I like to just, if it became real life, what movie would I want to be involved in? And so mm-hmm. I put that question out on Twitter, and some of the answers have been fantastic. Ooh. And it also came up in Sebastian Unger, because you're going to hear in that interview, I think next week, you're going to hear where he talks about in his new book called Freedom, where he and three of his buddies walked a train track from Washington, D.C. all the way to New York City. And they dealt with gunfights. They dealt with people trying to stab them, and like all kinds of crazy shit happens. And that all I could think about the entire time he was talking to me was the scene in Dennis the Menace where the homeless guy eats beans. That's the only thing I could think of.
Man, that's a great scene with Christopher Lloyd there. That was great.
Yeah, that's all. Like, as soon as he was talking, when I was walking the train track, I was like, this motherfucker's out here eating beans. Like, wow. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
But if you could jump in to any movie, which one would you jump into?
Well, so the way you posed this to me earlier was if I could jump into any adventure in a movie. So that kind of skewed my answer. I'm looking at your responses right now. Alex actually had a great response. She said blank check when Biederman starts handing Preston $1 million in cash, and then he just goes and buys a bunch of stuff. That's a great answer. When you said adventure to me, the number one answer that came to mind was the Goonies. If you could just be on that when you're chasing the buried treasure, that'd be a good one.
And then once you actually get in there and you see that ship.
Yeah.
And that place looks like it's perfect height for a cannonball, because it's high enough where it's scary, but it's not too high where you're going to hurt yourself.
Right. Do you know that Steven Spielberg kept that ship from the kids so that when they did the slide into the water and came up and saw it, that was their first time seeing it, because he wanted a genuine reaction from them.
Well, I didn't know that because I didn't know Steven Spielberg directed it.
Mm. So,
just found that out. But
now you
there's
know.
A lot of really great answers on Twitter. So are you going with Goonies? Is that your answer?
No, because, geez, you said adventure. And then I just recently watched Road Trip. That was I think that'd be pretty fun to be on that road trip. That was an interesting one. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I need more time on this answer. I really
do. Okay, so I got mine. I actually put together a list of five of which ones I would want to do. So I'll go first up. I think Titanic, but not the last like 60 minutes.
Okay.
But the first part where he's gambling, he's getting a spot on there when he sees them fucking big old pancake titties of Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
He gets to draw them bad boys. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. Like,
yes.
And to be on Titanic, not knowing that it's going to crash, and then I'm taken off before it does, like a live flight on a helicopter almost, and I don't have to be part of that. Just the first, like, 2 hours of Titanic would be incredible.
All right, so, Chaps, you want to be part of the first VHS of Titanic before you have to switch it over to the second VHS?
Yeah, the second VHS in my real-life adventure gets ruined, and you don't ever know what happens.
So I think I would go...
Imagine if that happened. If you only got the first one, you're like, what a lovely movie.
Right, it's phenomenal. I would love to watch this again and again and again. This is such a happy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking now.
All right.
Okay. I'll say Party at the Moon Tower in Dazed and Confused. That would be pretty good.
That was a very popular answer on Twitter too.
Or two other parties come to mind. The party from Project X or the party from Can't Hardly Wait. And I just get to be a fly in the background because both those, if you're not the main character where you have to deal with the consequences of your house getting trashed, great party.
Another person said that they would love to live the life of Ferris Bueller.
That's a great response.
That would be a good one too.
Yes.
All right. So my second one, I would love to be Charlie Bucket.
Okay. That's a good answer.
I mean, that glow up of being starting out super poor, eating cabbage water while your parents are at the factory screwing on toothpaste tops. Like, and then next thing you know, you're in this elevator that can go upways, soundways, sideways, which ways, anyways, backways. That would be amazing. And you have the world's best chocolate company at your disposal, and you have as many everlasting gobstoppers as you could possibly want.
Yeah. That'd be pretty awesome. I wouldn't mind being on the bench in Miracle. I don't even have to play, but I'd be in that game when we beat the Russians. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, that one will be good. My next one, Jumanji.
Ooh, that's a little scary.
It out alive in Jumanji.
That's true. Okay.
But the stories and the dude, I would never run out of podcast stories to tell ever again if I lived in Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not Jumanji with The Rock and Chris Hart, like
the old school
Jumanji
Robin Williams. Yeah. Okay, I like that one. Gosh, right. I feel like there's just so many.
My
too
fourth,
many.
Aladdin.
I'm not just saying this. I was just thinking this because my mind went from Robin Williams and I was thinking the genie in Aladdin. So that's a good response.
I mean, just being Aladdin, having access to that magic carpet. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at the same time, like Jasmine, smoke show.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
And she has a Bengal tiger named Raja. That would be awesome to have a dog in there. I would like to see if I could train Raja.
Mm. What about Sandlot?
My last one, my fifth one, I would like to be Tommy Lee from Tommy Lee and Pam.
Shout out. That one was for the 90s kids.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, honorable mention, I would like to be in the scene with Denise Richards from Wild Things.
So you'd like to be Matt Dillon in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The champagne scene.
Yeah. I know which one. Trust me. You just needed to say the scene. I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Shout
to the 90s kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Or basically any Cool Intentions is another one.
Okay. I would like to be with Marty McFly in Back to the Future.
Yeah, somebody had that one where you're getting to go in the actual DeLorean and getting around. That one would be incredible. Mm-hmm. I would like to be Billy Bob from Varsity Blues, throwing the tents around to all the hosts, and they would absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
That's a very good one.
The opening scene of Saving Private Ryan? Yikes.
I mean, respect to our former military and our veterans who came before us who lived through that. I don't know that we should say that one as something.
No, I don't know if I'd want to be in that one.
No, mm-mm. Definitely not.
And then another really good one is Robin Williams and Hook.
Yes, I would love to be a Lost Boy. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. I would just love to have longtime Stoolie Pockets come up to me and grab my face and be like, oh, there you are, Chapsy.
And I mean, that's an all-time food fight scene.
Oh, yeah. I would eat all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know. That icing, you'd get sick.
You probably would. You could be a little too much. You know what I do think is something that's overrated that was in that food scene? The oversized
turkey leg.
Yes. Yes. In theory, they look delicious. And then next thing you know, it's just not good. It always
Do you know how you have to actually make turkey legs for them to be good?
No, how?
Because what happens is when you go to the fair, you go to these like big state fairs or whatever, like Trent's dressed like a corn cob. And next thing you know, you're getting a smoked turkey thing. They don't low and slow it nearly enough. So all the tendons that are still like attached to the muscle fibers, they don't break down. If you cook a turkey leg and you cook it at 210 degrees and you do it for a longer period of time, all of those tendons and fat will render down and then it becomes much more palatable to eat it. But people don't cook turkey legs nearly long enough. That's what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I agree with that one.
So final answer, what movie are you going to live in?
Dazed and Confused. Last Day of School, 77. We're looking forward to the Moon Tower Party.
Smoking a little weed, mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of 3-Chi.
Definitely 3-Chi.
Waking up early in the morning.
Getting those Aerosmith tickets.
You know, I would, if I was eating with Hook, the only thing that would go well with a lot of that food, do you know what it is?
No, what?
Coffee. You can get the good kind of coffee to go with anything that you're going to eat at the Hook table from Black Rifle Coffee Company, which is a veteran-owned coffee company that's serving premium coffee to all those who love America. They're a veteran CEO founder, Evan. He spent 7 years on the ground overseas with U.S. Special Forces and as a CIA contractor. Evan even modified his gun truck during the invasion to Iraq to grind coffee anywhere. I didn't know how he did this. Have you ever seen that? Like how he did that?
No.
What the fuck would you use? Like the turret?
I don't know. But remember the dude in Black Hawk Down who made the coffee? He found a way. So maybe it was something similar to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You would have to do that, too. They import their coffee from all over the place, and it's roasted in spots like Manchester, Tennessee, Salt Lake City, and they have a big headquarters here in San Antonio, so their San Antonio group as well. The best way to enjoy Black Rifle Coffee is joining the coffee club. You pick your perfect roast, and they tell you, they send it to your door. They give you their shirts, by the way. I think they use the same manufacturer as Barstool does.
I think so.
So soft.
Oh, they're the best. Just incredible the right amount of soft. Yes. Yeah.
And their coffee cups. This is how, if you are a veteran-owned coffee company and your coffee cups suck, I think your business fails immediately.
Yeah, because you have to think, you got all these people, probably still active duty too, who are thinking, is this going to survive if I take it on a deployment?
There's so much about coffee, not necessarily like lower enlisted level, but when you start going to like staff meetings and like battalion level meetings and things like that, if you come in there with just a plain white coffee mug, you're the dead, like a fucking boot. Like you have to have a good coffee cup. These things are thick. They can withstand a beating. It is one that if you get somebody, this is a great gift, by the way, get somebody. If once they pin E6 or E7, E6 in the Marine Corps, E7 in the other branches of service, you give them this, it's one of those cups you don't have to wash. You just dump the old coffee out, and then the next day you fill it back up with the other one. That's what I would do. Go to blackrifflecoffee.com/zero, and you're going to get the freshest coffee in America shipped to you. It's a great coffee from great people who are doing great things. Let's get going with a little bit of save rounds and alibis. Cons, what do you got?
Did you want to introduce the interview with Sebastian Younger?
Nope, because we're not playing it today.
Oh, all right.
I got to hold it. They asked me, they're like, you got to hold it until release date. Because these motherfuckers, these listeners, I love you, listeners. But you guys are going to go try to buy the book right now. It's not for sale right now. You can't go get it. You might be able to get a pre-order. I don't know. But I told them I would hold it until sometime in May, like May 15th or something. So that's when it's going to come out. So I'll give you my word.
All right. I made a note just now. I think we can save this discussion for another time. But houses from movies that you would want to live in, that we could do that. I think that would be a fun discussion. So we'll do that.
I mean, that one, Alex nailed that one too. Blank check.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a, the dub, two good answers there from,
I mean, you go in, dude, if you have a master bedroom that has a water slide,
you win. You win.
You do.
Yeah.
It's not even a competition.
No.
Oh, my save round conversation. Floyd Mayweather should have murdered Jake Paul today.
I saw somebody say that they thought it might have been staged.
Oh, it's for sure staged.
Yeah.
But still, like, you taking somebody's hat or flipping them in the bill or pushing them in the forehead, you can't abide that.
No, that's about as disrespectful. Short of spitting in someone's face, that's about as disrespectful as it gets.
You know what I also hate?
What's that?
I hate if somebody reaches out to shake their hand and then they go, oh, no. Yeah. Mm. That one still fucking fires me up.
That's still, I mean, you learned that one in third grade and that's still a good burn. So,
All right, what do you got? Save rounds.
Save rounds. Did you see the clip of Brian Kilmeade talking to the sixth graders?
No.
All right. So it was Brian Kilmeade, not just to paraphrase, but so the kid gives an answer and the kid is in sixth grade. Okay. And Brian Kilmeade is a veteran of the media world, has been on TV, speaks for a living. He just completely like dunked on the kid. It was almost kind of like in Billy Madison when he goes out to play kickball and then he just demolishes the kids.
Now you're all big, big trouble.
Yeah, but it just wasn't funny. It was like, Brian, like, all right, you know, because the kid said something that was in favor of President Biden. Right. And Kilmeade was like, well, you know, the last president, such and such. And it was like, Brian, just let the kid have his point. You didn't have to.
Yeah, God forbid a child is happy with the president of the United States.
Yeah. I mean, the kid's frame of reference is only so large. He's only really understood what the president is probably for the last, I don't know, 3 years tops. So he doesn't really know. So Brian, pump the brakes, my guy. It's like, all right, enough. That's like the other Adam Sandler movie it made me think of in Big Daddy when the delivery man yells at the kid. He's like, you give him the easy ones. It's like, all right, relax. Relax, Brian.
Brian Kilmeade's like, hip-hop anonymous.
Yeah. Two more things. Sorry, really quickly. Have you seen all these states, my state of New Jersey included, who are doing all these bribes to get people to do the vaccination?
I love it. They're taking our ideas. That's what we said.
Yeah,
we said
exactly.
Fucking give everybody a 96. All these different baseball places. If you give me 4 tickets to a major league game and I live like near a ballpark, I'll get vaccinated again and again and again.
Yeah.
Because how are they going to know?
I just
get fake social security numbers. I'll get season tickets for free. And I'll never get any disease.
No.
I wonder if, can you get the coronavirus vaccine too many times?
Good question. I don't know. I don't want to be the one to try that out.
Probably start setting off like metal detectors with all those chips from Bill Gates.
Yeah, seriously. Ooh, yeah, sorry. And then New Jersey's doing a shot and a beer at various places. So I was like, oh, all right.
See, that's pretty good too. Party. Like if you could go in there and sit down. Let me ask you this. When you got your vaccine, did you do the 10-minute wait period or 15-minute wait period?
No, dude, I just walked right out.
They're like, oh, you got to wait 10 minutes. Like, no.
All right. Yeah, I'll see you later. Alex got mad at me for that.
I'm in my truck right now driving.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, something could happen. I'm like, I don't think anything's going to happen.
What the fuck could possibly happen?
Because you know what? Like, I guess you could have some sort of allergic reaction. I don't have any allergies. I've never been allergic to anything. So I don't know.
Doctors in there. They all look like people that they just pulled in from Target.
Seriously. Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's a single doctor in those places.
No. And you know what the other thing is? Guess what? I didn't go to medical school. I am not a scientist by trade. So I'm putting my faith in these people that they know what they're putting in my arm. And they've been doing it for their whole life in their profession. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that if they put it in my arm, I was fine. And now I'm fully vaxxed. So I can't get
a free shot. I mean, that's the good thing about having a wife who has a doctorate in public health. Mm-hmm. When she tells me to do something, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to look into shit.
No,
she's just like,
you got it.
Babe, you should do this. Like, all right.
Makes sense. And then finally, I just want to welcome home my buddy Pete. He's been a guest on this ZPT before. He just got home from a deployment safely. So welcome home, Pete.
Fuck yeah, Pete. Way to go. That it?
Yes, that is it. And I guess just one last thing. I'll save it for after yours, though.
Okay. So mine is shout out to the Army reinvigorating their CID program. I think that's fantastic. They're going to have like dedicated career officers whose job it is to be investigators. That's something that we've talked about for a long time on this show, mm-hmm. asking young dickheads like cons to be investigators and detectives. Not fair to the young officers. I got, there was Lady Love's Taft's husband was talking about that the other day about we have to do investigations better. I'm like, you guys shouldn't be doing investigations at all.
No.
A regular officer, a regular job. Nowhere else in the world does that happen. If you're a fucking head chef at a restaurant and one of your people does a crime, all of a sudden the sous chef is supposed to investigate it? It makes no sense.
That is the apt comparison, seriously. And especially, you're asking me at 24 with no investigative experience other than watching stuff on TV.
Like SVU. Yeah. You know what Stabler did.
That's the extent of how I know how to interrogate someone. But okay, yeah, I can go do this 15-6 investigation. Get out of here.
And shout out to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who also came out in favor, now reversed his decision and his opinion on having commanders be able to investigate sexual assault and sexual harassment claims. He's saying that it should go to an outside agency, which is the correct move for sure. You mm-hmm. have people like Lindsey Graham who are saying it's going to take commanders ability away. I disagree with that. It allows the commander to be focused on what's actually going on and allow criminal investigators to investigate criminal matters while you're sitting that service member under investigation on the side.
Right, because if you're doing a criminal investigation properly, that is a 24/7 type operation. You can't.
And the battalion commander has no idea what he's doing either.
No, I guess he's older. He's been around the block, seen more things. Or she. They still mm-hmm. don't have that investigative experience. So I'm happy to see that they're making some progress there.
Mm-hmm. Me too. All right. What else? What were you going
to
say?
All right. Last thing. This snuck up on me this year. As you're listening to this in your little ears, guess what? It's Mother's Day on Sunday. So make sure you reach out to mom, give her a call, you send her a text. Don't send her a text. At least give her a call. Maybe send her a card. If you're close enough, go see her. Give her a hug. Moms are the best. Happy Mother's Day.
What are you getting your mom for Mother's Day?
Can't tell you. She listens, and then it's going to be spoiled on Sunday.
I was the greatest son in the history of the world. I'm the greatest son ever.
What'd you do?
So I've talked a little bit about how my stepdad has brain cancer, and he's about to go into the experimental drug phase there. And my stepdad has always mowed the grass and done a lot of, they have an acre and a half in Florida, so it's hot as shit. She's been having to do the lawn, and some of it is push, some of it's ride. But she has rheumatoid arthritis, so she has a lot of pain. I paid for her lawn service for the summer.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a great gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the thing, you know, it goes in ebbs and flows. When you're a kid, it's, you know, anything, a card you make, and that's great. And then maybe a coupon book for chores you're going to do extra or whatever. And then it gets really hard. And then you get to be older, you have a little coin in your pocket, and you can do stuff that actually means something and is very helpful. So that's very thoughtful.
I was always jealous of people who go number one overall, being able to buy their mom a house.
Yeah.
Because that money, if you're buying them a $200,000, $300,000 house or paying off their mortgage, that's nothing to you at that point whenever you're signing a $10 million signing bonus. It's nothing. But the looks that you get and the amount of likes you get on Instagram, buddy. You can't buy that type of clout on social media. All right, we'll be back on Tuesday. Hopefully Kate's here this time. We don't know. We don't know what Kate's doing. I just send her the link, and if she hops on, she does. If she doesn't, no pressure here at all, Kate. We don't. Come back, Kate, please. All right, so we'll be back on Tuesday. Sound the retreat.